Welcome to the audiobook of The Roof Beneath Their Feet. Written by Gitanjali Shree, translated from the Hindi by Rahul Soni. Narrated by Mala Mangla and Anuj Datta. Chapter 1. Walls have ears, of course, but alas, they can't speak. The people living under this roof lamented. Or they would have told such stories about the secret goings-on of the mohalla. So telling stories now failed to people who, unlike walls, had too much tongue and not enough ears. And eyes still fewer. But because they could speak, such failings didn't matter. Stories were created, stories were told. They even started coming true. They echoed in the wind that swept the rooftops and could be seen through the kaleidoscopic cobwebs in the skylight. And was it not on this very rooftop where it all began? Where the children of the mohalla played, copycatting one another and bounding away from the reproofs of adults? Shouting, "Times!" for no reason, they would run to the skylight to peep and start giggling nervously. I too would run with them to peep into the room, and the older children would pull at my shorts and threaten. "Tell us, did you see what we just saw? Wham, bam, wham, bam, going on?" Then, clutching at my shorts, I would shout to appease them. "Yes, I saw what you just saw. Wham, bam, wham, bam, going on." And with the wham, bam, wham, bam, I'd rock my head from side to side, which would make them laugh. And I would laugh with them, and then we'd return to throwing pebbles and hopping on one leg. The older children wouldn't return to playing after they had peeped, though. The ancient, grimy, cracked skylight was like a magical glass, filtered through which stories turned into swings that the adults would ride higher and higher on the rooftop, adding their inflamed whispers to the wind that swept through the mohalla. "Did you see?" they asked. Even the children have seen. And children don't lie, do they? They're pure of heart, aren't they? So they'd build walls around what they wanted to believe. When they looked down the skylight, didn't they see Uncle and Lalna sleeping in the big room and poor Chacho sleeping alone in the room by the porch? Was it possible? I wondered, trying to remember the two rooms near the porch, neither of which could be seen from the skylight. One of them was the library. The other was the storeroom, stuffed with a world full of old and broken things meant to be sold as scrap or to be given away to servants. An old daybook, notebooks from school, the broken recliner which, with a newspaper under it, had served as a commode by Uncle's bed in the early stages of his sickness, boxes, bottles, tin cans, pens that didn't work, an old fridge crammed with burlap bags, a cage, a rat trap, a tattered hold-all, the new brass pichkari bought on Holi, which looked very grand, but was useless when it came to squirting colour. It shot out a thin trickle and was, therefore, soon relegated to a corner of the store, away from festivities. Some rope, a trowel, a broken pot, and a leaking pitcher. All the children of the mohalla wanted to hide in the storeroom while playing hide-and-seek, but hiding there meant getting an earful from Lalna and a smacking from their parents. I felt sad. Was it from remembering the storeroom? Or the books in the library? So there was a library? A lover asked me years later, suspicion in her eyes. Yes. Then, where did it go? Did it fly away? Yes, it flew away. Wah, it had wings. Yes, it had wings. And it flew away overnight? I didn't answer. Not overnight, but little by little, year by year, quietly. Once, someone brought back three books with Uncle's name on them from the scrap market. Here, take them. Consider them your own. So, my lover said, shrugging as if a point had been proved, there was no library, just the room where poor Chacho slept alone. I remained silent. And Lalna and uncle together. Right, I said tonelessly. Even the kids saw it from the skylight. She snapped. So did I told her. So, who slept with whom? Uncle, with me. In the flying library? No, in the sitting room by the boundary wall. And in the big room? Chacho, with Lalna. Lalna. That was not her name. What her name was, no one knew. When I asked her, having overheard the furtive whispers of people, Lalna, who was standing on a stool wiping the ceiling fan with a wet rag tied to a stick, shook so badly that it seemed she would fall, taking me and Chacho down with her, along with the stool and the table upon which it stood and which we were trying to hold steady. Who told you? Who? It must have been that Paresh. Didn't I tell you to stay away from his sort? Behenji, why don't you stop him? The boy will be spoilt. Don't shake the stool. And she twirled the stick with the wet rag and hurled it at the floor, as if wanting to wipe not the dust off the fan, but the curiosity off my face. But her name wasn't Lalna. What it was, no one knew. All they knew was that she had come crying one day to Premanandji's house, and from then on people knew her as Lallan's Bahu. But she wasn't Lallan's Bahu, at least not in the usual sense of Bahu. She wasn't Lallan's daughter-in-law. She was his wife. How is it possible that no one knew who Lallan was? The same lover asked me behind the tank on the roof. Here, they create people out of thin air. And you're telling me that a whole hale human disappeared? But behind the tank on the roof, words echo differently. The words remain the same, but their meanings change. No one knows that you and I are here, that we have disappeared from everyone's sight. Oh-ho, aye-hi. Hail? Not at all, I said in a different sort of haste, caressing my lover's neck. Was he mad? Yes, mad, I panted. But I didn't know that. Chacho said that Lalna had told her. But Chacho said that Lalna had also told her that Lallan was dead, and that Lallan's father had tried to force her into prostitution, which was why she ran away. Ran away? Bah, my lover said. I heard that her father-in-law brought her here. She came wailing and fell at her father-in-law's feet, saying, "Don't do this, Bappa. Don't leave me here, Bappa. Your Bahu will die, Bappa." And her nose started running as she cried, and her father-in-law said, "Stay away. Stay away." Not to keep her hands away from his feet, but to save his dhoti from her nose. Why did she have to start on all this? Lallan, Chacho, uncle. Now, behind the tank, when all my actions were trying to tell her, "Let's talk about me and you. There's romance in the air. And there's you and me. This weather, this moment, just us and no one else. Idhar main jawan, udhar tum haseen. My youth, your beauty, the possibilities." Who knows? My lover's gaze dropped as her imagination took flight. Maybe it wasn't her father-in-law, but Lallan himself who brought her here, to get rid of her so that he could go back to his new second bride. "Yes, she also told us that," I said breathlessly. "That Lallan brought her here?" Her eyes grew wide. "No, that..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?